This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. As Detroit makes unhappy history by becoming the biggest city in American history to file for Chapter 9 bankruptcy protection, the focus has been on money and how the city doesn't have enough of it to meet its crushing obligations. There are financial experts who believe the troubles facing Detroit and many other cities and states is a warning that we as a society need to rethink our monetary system and look at the advantages of another kind of currency, a local currency. What's wrong with our current money system, and how would local currency help solve many problems? For the answers, we turn to the co-author of the book, Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. Jackie Dunn is a currency expert and a journalist, and she joins us now from Boulder, Colorado. Welcome to the program, Jackie.
Oh, it's a pleasure to join you today.
Well, the book states it right there on page one. It's time to rethink money. Why?
Because our system is not working for us. Let's think about it. According to the IMF itself, they've said that in the last 40 years between 1970 and 2010, there have been no less than 425 different types of systemic crisis. Everything from sovereign debt that we read all about in Greece and in Italy, to where the actual currency itself has failed. And, of course, we went through a terrible time ourselves here in the United States with the banking crisis of 2008. So this is not just, gee whiz, a problem that happens once in a while. It is a systemic problem.
And what was your reaction when you heard that Detroit had filed for Chapter 9 bankruptcy protection?
I was so saddened because I've spent some time in Detroit and I have a lot of friends in Michigan. And knowing that if people really understood what money truly is, there would be no need for anybody, not even a city, never mind individuals, having to declare bankruptcy. But bankruptcy is part and parcel of our system and how it was devised about 400 years ago.
So give us a sense, explain to us how the current system of money is failing us. You say that it's not serving us as it should be. We're serving it.
Indeed. It's because there isn't sufficient money to go around. And there couldn't be because it is bank debt-based. Money is created when somebody goes in for a loan, such as for a house or a motorbike or whatever else. And it has to remain scarce in order for it to maintain its value. If they printed sufficient money for everybody to take care of their needs, I'm not talking about running around buying Porsches, just take care of their needs.
Sure.
There would be hyperinflation and the currency would be worthless. So part and parcel of the system, how it was devised 400 years ago in a very different age with a very different set of sensibilities, it was brilliant, but it doesn't serve us today.
And the solutions for scarcity of money is certainly something we have seen or likely will see in Detroit. And we can look anywhere in the world where problems have hit with money and you see austerity measures and cutbacks mm-hmm. and privatizations. Mm-hmm. Why is all of that the wrong medicine in your view?
Because by creating other currencies, it is possible for people to have sufficiency. We're talking about sustainable abundance. Can I give you an example of
mm-hmm.
currency?
Yes.
Let me take a town, a city that was going through terrible problems. It was Curitiba, Brazil. And the mayor of that town had a horrendous problem because there was so much garbage, particularly in the favelas. These are the shanty towns that had grown up on the peripheral of the town. He had no money to clean up that area. But he did have a bus service that was running half empty. So he sent out a notice to the favela saying, for every bag of straightened out garbage between organics and tin and paper and glass, the people would get a token to ride the buses. Lo and behold, within a matter of weeks, the favelas were picked clean. They put the sorted out garbage into big vats, different color depending on the variety, and they started using the buses. Then the local farmers started accepting these bus tokens in payment for local produce. The mayor linked an unused resource, which is the willpower and energy of the people, with an unmet need, which was to clean up the favelas. And he created a currency. So if you look around, there are so much in terms, there's so much in terms of people's ability. People are underemployed, unemployed. There are so many unused resources. And we have a whole pile of unmet needs. By rethinking money, like Jaime Lerner, the mayor of Curitiba, did, he can actually resolve the problem. And what's furthermore, he designed several other currencies in this city. And within about a six-year period, the average person living in Curitiba, Brazil, had a standard of living that was one-third higher than anybody else living in any other part of Brazil. So it's not just a cute little anecdote. There actually are tangible results that actually show up in people's pocketbooks.
Well, when I think of this, so this is what you call a complementary or cooperative
yes.
currency.
Mm-hmm.
And you also point out in your book that there are 14 states that have taken action to create their own state currency.
Mm-hmm.
Wondering how this works if you live in another town.
Mm-hmm.
Does it not cause walls to go up, I guess
no.
is what I'm trying to say?
No. What happens is we're not saying let's replace the dollar. We're saying we need all these different currencies working in tandem. That's why they're called complementary. They work in tandem. So obviously, you know, if I would buy my petrol in U.S. dollars because that's something that's bought from abroad.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at neighborhoods and you look at towns, if they had their own currency and they had like a negative interest rate on the money, meaning that the money expires or there's a it's not worth as much at a certain date, it is a pure medium of exchange, which means I don't want to hoard it. It's not something that I make my savings in.
So I'm not going to put it under the mattress.
No, it's not that. I do it in other things. I do it in dollars. I do it in gold. I do it in land. I do it in my house. I do it in other things. But I would have a pure medium of exchange. So I would go out into my community, go to the hairdressers, go to the cinema, go to restaurants, you know, support local products and services. And this, they have shown that with a local currency with a negative interest rate, that money circulates 20 times, as much as 20 times faster than the regular dollar or an ordinary currency.
I'm speaking with Jackie Dunn. She's a currency expert, and she's a journalist and the co-author of the book Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. So as we talk about local currencies, I'm wondering, Jackie, who sets the value of the services?
Money resides in the space of an agreement. So it's an agreement within a community to use something standardized as a medium of exchange. You're not obliged to take it, but if you choose to, you can actually negotiate. So how is it different from barter? Barter is, I'll come over and cut your grass and you give me half a dozen eggs.
Right.
But say if you don't like my gardening skills, and trust me, you won't, Cynthia, we can't do that. We can't do that transaction. So in order to buy the half dozen eggs, I need money. So it facilitates commerce. And what we're saying is there's not just one currency to facilitate commerce. There are several currencies you could have. For example, Switzerland. A shining example, I think you would agree with me, as a very stable economy.
Yes.
It is because they have had for 80 years, almost 80 years, a complementary currency, a business-to-business complementary currency. And how it came about was in 1934, in the depths of the Depression in Switzerland, 17 businessmen who used to meet very regularly had all received notices from their respective banks saying that their line of credit had either been completely cut or severely cut back.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sort of looking at each other, what are we going to do? And they realized that they were actually trading with one another. They were going to the bank to get a loan in order to pay one another. So they set up a currency between themselves called the WIR, W-I-R, which means we, us in English.
Mm-hmm.
And they started trading in that. So if I sell you something, Cynthia, I get a credit, you get a debit. And then you take your, you know, you try to get a credit, so your ledger comes to zero. So you actually, you know, trade among yourselves. It's an accounting system.
And who manages all of this?
It's a cooperative. And the reason why it is so successful, and 16% of all commerce between small and medium-sized enterprises in Switzerland take place in the WIR economy. So they deal with WIR when the banks aren't lending or they need extra money or whatever else. So the beautiful thing about the cooperative is I will adhere to the guidelines of the cooperative because the worst thing that can possibly happen to me is that I'm expelled from the cooperative and I actually lose my ability to use this currency, which is a very big deterrent.
You say in your book, Rethinking Money, there are about 4,000 communities with a mature system of cooperative currency in place. Are there any successful systems you could point us to in Michigan or in the U.S.?
There are many, and I think the most successful system, I mean that a design of currency, mm-hmm. is time banking, which is a currency that is backed by time. And that's something that we can all understand. 1 hour service equals one unit. And it has become very successful. It's actually now operating, I think, in 37 countries all around the world. So there are many examples of time banking in Oregon. There are legal services where they give free legal services, but they have a pay-it-forward mechanism. So people will go into the community and earn time dollars as a way and pay them forward as a way of saying thank you for the services they've gotten. You know, there's bicycle repair in San Francisco using time banking. I mean, you name it. There is a way to pay for a service using something like time banking or some other currency.
So if this all seems to be working so well, it makes me wonder why it isn't more widely used.
That's a very interesting question. We're in the early days of flight, like the Wright brothers, and there has been this amazing confluence of cheaper computing, access to the internet so people could have information, social media, etc. It is growing. It is growing, I say, consistently. And I think as people realize that there are other monetary agreements possible and they can see how well they function, I think more people will get on board. But I think people have had to feel the pinch before they realize, oh my gosh, is there another way of handling our affairs?
When communities have implemented these cooperative currencies, Jackie, where has the resistance come from? Has there been pushback from the banks or...
Yes, there has been pushback from the banks, and I think for the most part, it has basically gone ignored because it has been so much under the radar. In the case of Switzerland, I spoke to you about, and there was a big pushback from the banking industry, but they lost because it was so popular. But I think there has been a lack of information, and people have never, you know, it's a real approach avoidance money. Money, for most of us, can be an issue of shame, or if you have a lot of money, it really erodes trust. Also, the whole science of economics and monetary affairs are so blessedly dry. So there has been an innate desire not to address money for personal reasons and also that it has been so convoluted, the language is so convoluted. So I do think as we move forward and more people see the success of this, they will be willing to embrace it. And there's all kinds of currencies. There could be taking care of elderly people, educating our young. There could be regional currencies, bioregional currencies, business-to-business currencies. It is endless in terms of the possibilities.
So to cities like Detroit, drowning in deficits and drowning in red ink, your advice would be?
My advice would be is to rethink money and see what the unused resources and the unmet needs are of the city. And I'm sure there is a very, very long list, and how the city could rebuild itself by accepting partial payment of taxes in the local currency so people could fill the coffers of the municipality with a local currency, and they, in turn, can pay their employees, such as, you know, the maybe the teachers, the policemen, the firemen, whatever else, in partial payment with these currencies, it would start to really ignite the economy.
Currency expert Jackie Dunn. She's the co-author of the book Rethinking Money, How New Currencies Turn Scarcity into Prosperity. Giving us a lot to think about, Jackie. Thank you so much. She joined us today from Boulder, Colorado. Thanks for being on the program, Jackie.
My pleasure. Thank you.